So in this most beautiful 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we started with the description of an upside down tree, Urdhva Moolam Adhashakam Ashvattham Prahuravyayam. So the world is described as an upside down tree. Normally the tree has the roots in the bottom and the branches above, but here the world is upside down, means the Lord, the Creator is above us. He's all over, but He's higher than us. And the world is spread out below. And so this tree is called Avyayam. The universe is called Avyayam because it is long standing. It has been there for billions of years and will continue to be there. Again, creation and destruction happens. And then Adaschordvam Prasritas Tasya Shaka. And these branches and leaves are all of us. We are the part of that tree. We are the branches, the leaves, and the tree grows up and down. Some of us go upward in our life, some of us evolve, some of us go downward. And these branches of the tree spread out, and then in the Ashwatha tree that we have talked about, the branches actually grow for a certain distance, and then what happens is the main root is not strong enough to sustain the tree. So an additional branch grows down and that takes root, and then an additional branch. So the tree actually can spread for miles. So similarly, as the roots take firm ground, and then the tree keeps on growing. So similarly, our sansar also, our world also takes root strongly in the vasanas and the gunas. We keep on getting involved and engrossed and firmly caught up in this world where they say, I can't get out, I'm so busy, I'm so engrossed. They say, you know, come for Swamiji's lectures. Oh, you know, I'm so busy, I have so much work to do. So we get more and more bound. So he says, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. So with the acts of detachment, detach yourself from this world, because ultimately the world is not your ultimate goal. What is your ultimate goal? Tatav padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatana nivartanti bhoya. You need to go to that higher world, the world of the Lord, the world of the Supreme Consciousness, which is your ultimate goal in life, which is why you came to this earth. That's why you have the human intellect. That's why you have the consciousness. The Lord within is to direct you upward. So turn your attention to that, because that is the ultimate goal. And then Sri Krishna in the fifth verse, he tells us the qualities of a seeker. A person who is on the spiritual path, he says, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvair vimukta sukha dukha sangyai gachanti amudha padamavyayam tat. So who are the wise people who go to this higher? Who have no delusion, who have no pride or arrogance, who are free from attachment, excessive bondage to people and things. Mind is always centered on the self, and their desires are minimum. Instead of selfish desires, their desires are for benefit of mankind. And such people, they go to the highest. And then last week we had talked about this higher world. What is it? Where Krishna says, Mama Dhamma, Param Dhamma, that is my abode. And that is Krishna's abode, that is the abode of Jesus, that is the abode of Buddha. All the realized masters who have become one with Brahman and are Brahman himself, that is the abode of Brahman, where there is no sun or moon. This worldly sun or moon cannot illuminate, because that is beyond this world. Of course, they have its own illumination, and it is that power which illumines the sun and the moon and the stars and the light. But the sun and moon of this world cannot illumine that world. And yad gatvana nivartante, and once a spiritual seeker decides that he or she wants to pursue the spiritual path, then there is no return. Once you get caught with this bug, I shall say, it is so fascinating, it is so wonderful, you know, this field of spirituality. Then you realize that all these years I wasted my time. I myself feel, you know, we didn't start on this path till, you know, we were in the 40s. And you feel that, you know, that was time that could have been more spirit, you know, worthfully spent. And there are many, I see sometimes youngsters coming to my Thursday meditation class. They are teenagers and they have started meditation. How fortunate they are that they have been exposed to this knowledge. But the point is, whenever we start, it is a good time, because again, this journey is not of this one lifetime, it is multiple lifetimes. So jabhi bhi shuru hua, it's fine, there's nothing wrong, continue the journey and ultimately you will reach. And then last week we talked about the individual jiva, the subtle body. What does it do? It occupies this world, the subtle body. We'll talk a little more about that, the mind and intellect. The subtle body takes a human body, takes a birth of a human body, and mana shasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati, and using its sense organs, the jiva, each one of us is a jiva. We have a mind and intellect, and propelled by our vasanas, our desires, we occupy this world, take a particular body, enter a mother's womb, and then, you know, they generally say in the third or fourth month, the jiva enters the mother's womb. And it's from that time on that the individual has its individuality. That's when they say it's alive in the true sense, even though it is multiplying. But the mind and intellect enter around the fourth month of the gestation. And from then on, the individual then, whatever the lifetime it has, he continues to enjoy this world. And then what does he do after that? And how does he function? We'll talk about that today. In verse number 8. Shariram yadavapnoti. Yachapyutkramatishvaraha. Grihit vaitani samyati. Vayurgandhani vashayat. So Ishvara is the Lord. Here the Lord is not Bhagavan or not the, but the individual, the mind, intellect, because each and every one of us is governed by our mind and intellect. The body is controlled by our mind and intellect. The intellect decides, the mind executes. So the subtle body, which actually consists of 17 parts, we'll talk about that. But it is the subtle body, the Ishvara, which controls this body, which makes the hand move, which makes the mouth speak, which makes the eyes to see, ears to hear and all. So Ishvara, what does he do? Shariram yat avapnoti. When this Ishvara, this individual, as we believe in rebirth, so this individual having taken a new body, yat avapnoti, when it occupies the body, or sometimes when it leaves, when it occupies, when it comes and occupies this body, and then utkramati, when it leaves this body, Ishvara, what does it do? All these sense organs and abilities it takes with it, vayur gandha nivashayat, vayur gandha nivashayat, just as the wind ashayat, from the flowers, from the location, takes the perfume. Like, see, if you are standing next to an orchard, you know, of beautiful flowers, and you are, the wind is blowing that way, even though you may be, you know, 10, 15, 20 or 30 feet from the orchard, but when the beautiful wind comes, you can smell the perfume, you know, of the beautiful flowers. Or if you are standing next to a sewer and then the wind is blowing, then you will smell, you know, the perfume of the sewer. So whatever the wind is, as it blows, it carries the perfume with it. Here, of course, they are using the symbol flowers. They want it to be pleasant. But the idea is that the wind carries the perfume with it. So similarly, the individual carries the vasanas. Just vasana means smell. Vasana in Gujarati means smell. Also in most languages, vasana means smell. Vasana also means the unmanifest desires. So when the subtle body leaves the gross body, it takes with it the vasanas, the tendencies. So whatever tendencies, whatever habits I have in this lifetime, they are carried. If you have a strong desire, a strong tendency, that is carried by the individual through its journey to the other world, wherever it lives, in heaven, hell, or wherever. And then when it takes a new body, it continues that journey. So what is the subtle body? In Atma Bodh, Swamiji has given a reference in the verse number 13 in Atma Bodh, which is a small text available in the office, which is a very basic text. It gives a very good introduction to Vedanta by Shankaracharya ji and Swami Chinmayananda's commentary. So in that it is said that the subtle body consists of 17 elements. Two are the mind and intellect we talked about, which are subtle. Five are the pranas. Pranas are the physiological functions in the body. That means the prana, apana, vyana, samana and udana. Prana means the ability to intake. So whatever you take, nutrition, you know, whatever you take from the mouth, the breath you take in, what you take in from the eyes, from the ears, all the knowledge you acquire, anything that helps you to grow and get better is called prana. So whatever you intake, of course, it could be bad also. You could read some bad books or get some bad literature or listen to some bad gossip. So whatever I put into my body is called prana. Apana is excretion. So whatever I excrete from all different excretory functions, that is apana. Then there is samana. Samana is the digestive system. So as I intake, then my body digests. Or same way in the lungs, you know, the air is exchanged. So the digestive system is called samana. And vyana is the circulatory system. So the blood, you know, as the food goes in, the proteins are absorbed, the carbohydrates are absorbed, and then the blood takes it to the liver and to the various organs where it is utilized in muscles and so on. And then udana is actually has many meanings. Different commentators say differently. But udana is something that is violently expelled, like sneezing. Also at the time of death, you know, at the time of death, the jiva expels the subtle body. The subtle body is violently pushed out, you know, and so the death, at the time of death, the udana becomes very active and then the body becomes dead. So these five pranas, the mind and intellect, and the 10 organs, the five sense organs and the five organs of action. But not the actual organs. It's not the eyes, ears, nose, smell, and tongue. Because those are part of the gross body. It is the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to smell, the ability to taste, the ability to touch, which is in the mind. Even though my eyes are seeing, but the eyes are just holes. What Vedanta says is that it's the consciousness, when it illumines the mind and intellect, the person becomes alive, and then the mind goes out through the eyes and can see the objects, goes out through the ears and can hear the sounds, goes out through the nose and can smell, the tongue it can taste, the skin it can touch. So the ability to see, hear, smell, taste and touch, which is in the mind, and the ability to talk, like the actions, the organs of action, the hands, the feet, the speech, the genital organs and the excretory organs. So the ability to act, the ability to work, and the ability to think, and the ability to perceive are all together constitute the 17 aspects of the subtle body. So this subtle body occupies this gross body, and at the time of death, it leaves, taking the vasanas with it. So Gurudev in his commentary describes it very beautifully as packing and unpacking. Suppose, you know, you have to move from here to Los Angeles. Say you know your job transferred you. So what do? You know, you call the movers and then, you know, you're leaving the old house. You have sold the old house and you have bought a new house already. And that house there is empty. So what you do, all your furniture, you know, you bring the moving company. And they pack all your furniture, everything, you know, your dressing room, your living room, your family room, bedroom, all the pots, pans, cutlery, everything you pack into nice boxes. And then the moving company takes it there. And then when you reach Los Angeles, then you go and you supervise them. Okay, this box goes in the kitchen, this box goes in the living room. And then you unpack. And then you unpack. And now you're settled in your new house. Maybe in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you have settled. And now you are ready to function. You are ready to work, you know, and you're ready to deal with. So similarly, the jiva packs up everything, packs all the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to think. All these are packed up. And this whole package is then transported with the mind and intellect, with the vasanas. The desires are also propelling it. The desires are taking. And with the vasanas, it goes and then waits in a higher zone. They call bardo in Buddhism. These are higher worlds where the jiva waits for a suitable body to become available. And then it goes into that body and then unpacks. Enters that body in the fourth month, and then the ability to see, the ability to hear, the fetus gets it, and then it becomes more manifest as the child is born after 3-4 months. So that is and the Lord, as I said, is the Ishvara, the subtle body. Of course, the consciousness or Bhagavan is the ultimate Lord, but here when they talk about Lord, they are talking about the subtle body. And what does it leave behind? So Gurudev says it leaves behind this dead body. Now, this dead body is of no use to anybody, right? Once the subtle body leaves, then that you want to get rid of it as soon as possible. Get it out of the house, you know, because you're afraid you will catch something. And that body is just, you know, filthy, and then, you know, you may clean it and you may, but, you know, it starts decaying, it starts rotting. And all it is good for is food for the worms. That's all, you know, we are good for. Gurudev calls it a pile of manure. It's a pile of, you know, manure. That's all it is. And then you either bury it, if you cremate it, you burn it, or you bury it, it becomes food for the worms, and then it becomes part of the five elements. You know, the gross meets with the gross, the fire, air, everything merges with the cosmos. And so that body becomes useless. And we spend so much time taking care of this. Getting plastic surgery and makeup and buying clothes and jewelry and house and taking care of my possessions, everything for this pile of manure, which ultimately is just going to deteriorate, is going to be useless. You're going to leave it behind. And we spend so much time, and then we say, I cannot live without her. It's one pile of manure, can't live without another pile. You know, that's all it is. That's all it is worth. Actually, it has no value, but we spend so much time. This reminds me of a story. I've told that before, but it's so nice that I thought I'll repeat it. A lot of new people, so I'm sure they'll enjoy it. So there was this very, very rich man, and he had acquired a lot of money. And in order to become very, very rich, you obviously cannot be very honest or very sincere. You have to, you know, do some crooked thing. So, but he had become so rich. He had so much money, he couldn't even count. So he said, you know, but when I die, you know, I have to take this money with me. Maybe it'll be useful to me in heaven. So what he did was, part of his money, he converted into jewels, diamonds, you know, precious stones, gold. And he made a little briefcase with all precious and all the currencies of the world also, rubles and dollars and pounds, you know. And so he made a packet which was worth probably $1 million. And he said, this one I'm going to take with me when I go. And he told the people, you know, put it on the attic, because as I'm going up, you know, I'll take it. And he said, I have to die at home. If I get sick, do not take me to the hospital. So his children and wife listened to him. He got very sick. And so they kept him in his bed, and the suitcase, the little briefcase was above. And so he breathed his last, he left his body, and, you know, everybody was sad. But they said, well, let's go up and see if the briefcase is there or not. And they go up there, and the briefcase was still there. So his wife says, you know, she started crying. You know, I had told him, put it in the basement. Then he could, then he definitely could have taken. So the point is that nothing of this world goes. The only thing goes with you are your karmas and your actions and your vasanas. So that's why they say, do not develop strong vasanas. Do not have a very strong desire for anything, you know, anything of this world, whether it's money or power or position or a person or an object. Some people get so attached to their house, or some people get so attached to their dog. Oh my God, I recently heard that they're buying $2,000, $3,000 gifts on Christmas for their dog. Is that true? That's what I heard. It was, I didn't. But people buy, no, they buy these gold necklaces and with jewels. And I'm not kidding. You can check on the internet. There are this jewelry available for children and for your dogs worth thousands of dollars. I'm not joking. And people get so attached to that. They say, if you want to be attached to him. Be attached to Bhagwan. Be attached to the Lord. Because that vasana will go with you. Whichever is your strongest desires will go with you. So why do you want to carry a desire for money or a desire for sense objects or sense pleasure? Food. Some people are so obsessed about food, eating and planning and thinking and watching the food channel. And their whole mind is all the time on food. And after lunch, they start planning dinner. Start thinking about Bhagwan instead of thinking about dinner. You know, you can, what I'm saying is that where do you put the majority of your time, majority of your mind? Where is your abilities? Where are your thoughts? Where are your mind? That will go with you. If all the time you're thinking of money and stock market, that will go with you. And that vasana will continue. And that will just bind you further. As we said, in the tree, the vasanas bind you. So if you want to be free of these desires, hold on to Bhagwan, hold on to the Lord. And then alone, you will become free. You will become pure. You will become, your actions will be more spiritual. Your activities will be more pure. So that is what it says, that it takes the vasanas, it takes the smell and silently leaves. The leaving is very silent. You know, people in the olden, I remember a few years back, they had taken pictures. They said, you know, somebody's dying, we'll take a picture. And then they said they saw a shadow leaving, or especially in the movies, when somebody's dying, they show a flame leaving. None of it is true. You cannot see, if you have seen people die, you cannot see a shadow. You cannot see a flame. Because what leaves is subtle. The mind and intellect are subtler than the body. They can, thus says, I cannot see your mind and intellect, right? I cannot see what you are thinking. Some of you may be thinking, you know, I should have been watching the playoffs instead of instead of attending the Gita class. Maybe he is. I'm just joking. So but the point is that, you know, I cannot see your mind and intellect and you cannot see my mind and intellect. So the mind and intellect cannot be seen, cannot be photographed, cannot be perceived. Forget about the self, the consciousness, which is even subtlest. So silently the body is left, the mind and intellect departs. It cannot be seen, cannot be smelled, cannot be tasted, cannot be touched. And as it leaves, it then occupies a new body based on the vasanas and based on the karmas. Just as if I'm a doctor and I move from Bakersfield to Los Angeles, I'm not going to go there and become an engineer, right? I'll continue my medical profession. So similarly, when the jiva leaves, whatever its strongest vasana is and whatever its karmas are, based on that, it gets a new body and there it continues the vasana. Say, suppose in this life, I wanted to learn music and I couldn't learn and I tried and tried. And if I have this very strong desire to learn music, then in my next life, I'll be born in the house of musicians. And then I'll get the body of, you know, whatever my vasana is, I'll get those kind of parents, I'll get that kind of environment, I'll get that kind of body. Say if I wanted to be an athlete and I wanted to, you know, run the Olympics and I couldn't, then in the next life, you know, if I have this strong desire, I will get an athletic body where then maybe I'll compete in the Olympics and then, you know, that kind of food I will eat, those kind of thoughts I will have, those kind of desires will arise in my mind, those kind of circumstances. So it says whatever you leave with, that you continue. So the life is a continuum. It's not broken. It's not at the time of death suddenly ended. No. The life continues. The human body, you know, body is dropped, of course, but the human mind continues. The intellect continues. The thoughts and ideas continue. And life is a continuum. It is a ongoing process. And you keep on taking new bodies and new births till you realize. Till you become one with God, till you realize that, till you reach Him, then you are free. Then you live in ever bliss. Then you, you know, these small, small, little, little joys are nothing. You know, the joy they say of the Brahma. I was reading somewhere, I forget the numbers, but like one, say there is a young, healthy person, boy or a girl, very healthy, very beautiful, very rich, and enjoying all the pleasures of this world. So has health, has wealth, has comforts, is enjoying all the joys. That is counted as one. So 1,000 times more is the joy enjoyed by the Pitras. And 1,000 times more is the joy enjoyed by the angels. 1,000 times more is the joy enjoyed by, you know, like the in the Brahma Lok. And 1,000 times. So millions and millions and millions, when you multiply, that is one joy of that Brahman being with him, is equal to millions and millions and millions and billions of joys enjoyed by this perfect person on this earth, who is beautiful, who has all the money, who has all the joy, all the pleasures, perfect health. And that does not even equate to one millionth or billionth of the joy that is there. So that is what they're saying, that do not just get caught up in this. Look for joys within, because in this life itself, you have the capability of enjoying the joy of Brahman. You don't have to die. You don't have to go to Brahma Lok or Vishnu Lok or Kailash or anywhere. In your meditation, in your silence, when you experience that bliss within of Brahman, you enjoy that joy. And that joy is manifest. It is appears and it is self-created. It is not dependent on an object, not dependent on pizza, not dependent on buying a new piece of jewelry or a new car or a new house or a new job or a new wife or a new child. No, it is self-created. So that joy is what you should enjoy, and that's what we practice in our meditation. You know, we some of us do meditate, and if others, if you don't, you should, because meditation is a very beautiful way to contact the Lord within. We have books on meditation in the office. We have a class every Thursday night at 6:30. But everybody should meditate, because meditation is the most fastest way to go within, experience the Lord's presence in my heart, and to dissolve your vasanas. If you want to burn your vasanas, your desires, your selfishness, meditation is the fastest way to evolve spiritually. So that is what they say. That is what an individual does. Having left this body, takes the perfume with it, takes the vasanas with it. That's verse number 8. Any questions, any comments? Yes.
Enlightenment. So the subtle body carries both karma and vasanas?
Yes. Actually, the vasanas is the causal body. The vasanas propel it. The vasanas are three levels. There is the gross body, then the subtle body is the mind and intellect, and the vasanas is the causal body, which causes me to act. And then the Bhagavan, the consciousness, is the fourth. So the vasanas propel, and then, yeah, it carries the vasanas with it, because the vasanas accompany them. So there are four levels.
Four.
The gross body, the subtle. At the gross body, the subtle body is the mind and intellect, and then the vasanas is the causal body, it's called, and then the consciousness or om. Yeah, mind and intellect propelled by the vasanas, carrying the vasanas. But the mind and intellect, some people call mind and intellect as jiva, some people call mind, intellect, and vasanas as jiva. It's just the semantics, but it's the mind and intellect going, propelled by the vasanas, and the vasanas are carried. That's the perfume. That's the smell we are taking.
The thought that I learned earlier, it was your karma that carried from one life to another.
That's why somebody from childhood, you find like Mozart, at age 5, he was already composing operas. You know, he had this desire for music. He was already an accomplished musician in his previous birth. And Bobby Fischer, by age of 10, he was a chess grandmaster. Raman Maharishi, by age of 7, was already meditating and going into samadhi. So they had previous vasanas or tendencies for music or chess or spirituality, and they manifest. That's why you might find, if you have 2 or 3 children in the house, one is interested in sports, one is interested in music, one is interested in studying, and they're all the same, come from the same parents, they've been given the same upbringing, but they are so different. Why? Because they have different vasanas. So the karmas determine the kind of body I get, whether I get a good or bad circumstances. But the karmas determine the circumstances. If I have done good karmas, I get good circumstances. If I have done bad karmas, I get bad circumstances. But the vasanas determine the kind of body I get and the environment. So it's a combination of vasanas and karmas. That determines my parents. I decide my parents. My parents don't give birth to me. But I choose my parents based on my vasanas and my karmas. So the conducive atmosphere, that's why a person who has a desire for music will be born in a musician's family. Because he had, and from age 2 or 3, he will, like there was this internet video of this boy with 1.5 years and he's already playing tabla. You can, you know, a lot of people have watched it on the internet. He's like less than 2 years old and he plays beautiful tabla. You can actually watch it. So I'm sure he has the music vasana in him, and all they had to do is give him a tabla and he just started playing. Nobody had to teach him.
Does it have the ability to meditate?
No, not there. There you can only, in heaven or hell, you cannot improve or get worse. You only enjoy or suffer. Suppose the gross subtle body goes to heaven, it will enjoy the pleasures of heaven. If it goes to hell, it will suffer the consequences of hell and then will come back. The only way you can evolve is on earth. Or few individuals who have evolved to such a great extent that they go to Brahma Loka, the Loka of Brahmaji, the creator. From there, if they have reached that level, which are very few, they don't come back. And there the past teachers and Brahmaji himself and other teachers teach that individual and he can evolve or she can evolve higher. But short of that, everywhere else you have to come back. You can't meditate or learn over there. That is a bhoga. You know, the heaven is a place of bhoga where whatever I have accumulated, I go enjoy it, but then I have to come back.
So is it consciousness?
But consciousness is everywhere. Consciousness is everywhere. The individual is alive, but it's a more subtle, it's a different realm of existence, just as deep sleep, dream, waking, you know, there are different stages of. So this is a different stage of experience where you experience these worlds. Yeah, of course. Consciousness is everywhere. There's no place where it is not. And the jiva, the mind and intellect, of course, they have the ability to think and all. That's why don't you hear about angels and in heaven and, you know, Indra and all these apsaras dancing and all these stories are there about all the joys in heaven and all. So yeah, they have the ability to think. But they cannot evolve any further. It's only on earth. That's why human body is very precious. Don't waste it.
Yeah, they can.
But they have a very limited ability to influence. They cannot influence. They cannot bless you. I mean, maybe they can send their blessings, but they cannot change your good luck and change your bad luck into good luck and all that. They are very limited. Yeah, they might be able to observe what is happening because they are in a higher realm of consciousness. But most of the time, though, what happens is within a few months, the jiva is born somewhere else and forgets about you. You know, your mom and all, she's probably a child somewhere else. You know, she doesn't know who you are or where you are. It's all over. Because, you know, depending on, some people stay for months, some people stay for years, you know, but ultimately they take a new body and that's it. The individual is gone. He's caught up in his new body and in his new life and his new family and new, you know. No, that's why the human body is very precious. Utilize this, whatever 40, 50, 60, 70 years you have. Do not waste them. Do not waste them in idle pursuit. Think about God. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Meditate, pray, help others, serve the world. Because that is how you accumulate good, you know, karmas. And as you accumulate good karmas, your mind becomes more quiet, you know, as you do more unselfish, your mind becomes less selfish. And with a quieter mind, you can meditate. Otherwise, you can't. So, yeah, no. Well, I think that will come, it is part of the pranas, right? Actually, the pranas. Yeah, and also the ability, because the chakra, don't they control the nervous system and all that? Yeah, so the ability to control the various pranas is that. Yeah, you can reconcile it with that. That's not a problem. But whatever you can't perceive, you can't see, which is subtle, will go, right? Yeah. But that's why I said there are 17 aspects to that. The ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to act, all the controlling of the pranas, everything. It's not the actual organs, but the ability to see. That's what goes. The eyes will remain. You know, the dead person, his eyes are there, but he can't see because the ability to see is gone. Yeah, no, that is the physical organ though.
Yeah.
But then that organ has to be connected, you know, the subtle body has to be able to function through it. That's what they say, no, the blood has to run in, they connect all the, like if they transplant your liver, they connect all the blood vessels, the nerves, everything they connect so that that organ becomes a part of the new body, yes. But it is still the gross body, it's not the subtle body. When you transplant an organ, whether it's kidney or liver or
even after the subtle body has left, because it is still usable.
Right. They have to do it very quickly though.
Right.
Within a few minutes. You can't do within hours, within 20 or 30 minutes because it starts decaying. The moment it loses touch with the subtle body, it loses the ability to. So it's probably a gradual process maybe. But yeah, but it has to be done within 20 or 30 minutes of death. You can't preserve the body and refrigerate it and do it. No, you can't do that.
How can you use that? You don't even know about them.
No, unmanifest desire will manifest. If you have them with your vasanas, sooner or later it will appear. Like an alcoholic, you know, he has the desire to drink, but as a child, as a teenager, he won't. But then once he goes to college and he meets with other friends and he has this vasana to drink, immediately he gets hooked. Another person in the same company may just have drink once a week or once a month. Another person starts drinking every day. Like these Red Indians, you know, they say Red Indians. The moment they touch alcohol, they get addicted. You know, they get so addicted that they immediately become alcoholic because they have this tendency. So sooner or later, the tendency will manifest. The desire will...
Your own case, then you still have to decide. Whatever desires that you're manifesting came from unmanifested desires.
I think first of all, you have to consciously watch that what is my strong desire at this moment? What am I thinking of all the time? What am I thinking of him? Am I thinking of spirituality or am I thinking of the world? That's why they say, na, asanga shastre na dridhena chitva. So with the acts of detachment, you slowly transfer. And the mind needs something. The mind cannot function in a vacuum. As you detach from the world, you have to attach to him. So spend more time in reading, spend more time in praying, meditating, doing more service. Again, not with I or my, but that the Lord is working through me. So as you do more and more think about Bhagavan, slowly your worldly desires will reduce. And like you said, sattvic desires, the reason sattvic desires can become a bondage, you know, the rajasic and tamasic, we know if I have a desire for money or for, you know, drugs and all. But sattvic, what they say is that, say, I want to do a sattvic activity, like I want to build a temple or I want to build a hospital. And somebody comes as an obstacle in my way and I get so angry and I start fighting and I try to, you know, destroy him. So that is where the sattvic desire has become a bondage, where your desire to build that hospital is good, but when it becomes a bondage, where it becomes an obsession and anybody who comes in my path, I have to destroy him, then that sattvic desire is becoming a bondage. But the sattvic desires are good. The desire to help, the desire to evolve, the desire to be good. But it should not become a bondage. It should not, understand that even that I have to go beyond. Ultimately, I have to work not out of desire, but spontaneously. Where I am helping somebody spontaneously, not out of desire to help. It is coming through me, and if it happens, good. If it doesn't happen, it is his will. So then that sattvic desire can also be, sublimated. Yeah, see, even the unmanifested, that's a good point, yes. You heard him, right? You got it. Yeah. Thank you. It's very good. You want to repeat it one more time? Vivek means discrimination, Vairagya means detachment, dispassion, yeah.